We got to get to that rumor that was going around Twitter. The multiple teams have reached out to the Falcons about Kyle Pitts. Mike, I know you're tired of talking about it.
Well, it's not the news. It's not the trade news, which, by the way.
Ding.
Thank you. This is not like, there's nothing like earth shattering, like news breaking. You know what I mean? Like, I think we've all kind of understood that Kyle Pitts is expendable. We've all had conversations about what they should do with him. I mean, Johnny on Twitter probably 2 years ago was saying, we should field calls for Kyle Pitts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just one of those conversations that goes round and round and round and round. Because, look, football is different from a lot of other sports where when somebody is underachieving, you can point to a lot of different things. Like, Michael Harris is not hitting right now. It's kind of on Michael Harris. You know what I mean? You go to other sports. Like, if a golfer isn't playing well, they need to adjust the swing. There's so many different caveats in football. Well, it's the coordinator. Well, it's the quarterback. Well, it's the franchise, the development, the game plan for him. You can talk yourself in a circle, and that's one of the reasons that I feel exhausted by the conversation around said individual mm-hmm. because it doesn't ever lead anywhere. You just talk yourself in a circle of, well, he needs to run harder routes. Well, maybe he'd run harder routes if the quarterback getting the ball. Maybe the quarterback getting the ball if the game plan, blah, 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 blah. And here we sit once again wondering if and when that he could be in a different team, in a different uniform this coming season.
Well, the problem is they need to line him up over certain players and tell the other team not to change who they're allowing to cover.
I know
him.
What you're doing to me. Yeah. Don't do it. I'm just telling you. Don't get me fired up.
Can we clarify? Can we go ahead and clarify one thing before the classic overreactors, and we know who they are. Go read their Twitter accounts or listen to their shows or read their articles. There's a difference, though, in actively trying to trade someone and listening to people when they call. And there's also a reason why they're standing pat on a day two pick, which, by the way,
ding,
is only a second and third rounder. I heard inaccurate reports saying that's second, third, or fourth. Fourth round is not a day two pick. That's a day three pick. Yeah. So it's a second or third rounder. And there's a reason why they're only – I think there's a reason why they're only listening for a day two pick. Because to them, that would be getting probably more than he's worth. And I don't think they're actively trying to get rid of him. I just think they're willing to listen.
I have a completely different viewpoint on this, though. I think they're only considering a day two pick so that they don't have egg on their face from drafting him fourth overall. Otherwise, because I think what you're weighing in the Kyle Pitts saga / scenario is, I think everybody looks at it as, well, you're giving up a great player or, you know, a player with great potential in order to get this back. But I think there's another side of it where you would move on for a third round pick or possibly even less, to my point, because of what you feel like he does to your offense in a negative way. Like, is he dragging you down in a negative way? Is the conversation surrounding him or the eyeballs on him or the questions about the fourth overall pick, is that affecting this offense negatively because you feel like you have to involve him in a certain way or you feel like you have to do certain things with him? I think they'd be willing to get rid of him for lesser than a day two pick, but you'd probably have egg on your face because, you know, 4 years ago you drafted him fourth overall.
I don't necessarily. I think that's, to me, that's a way that I do believe people are going to spin it. But I think they're looking forward to the season as well. And they're like, you know what? You're stealing if you get a day two pick for this guy. You're stealing.
I agree.
And so we're going to steal or we're going to go into the season and hope that we're healthy with Bijan, Darnell, Drake, Kadarrell, maybe somebody else pops up and the tight end that wears number 8 just falls into a couple of plays like he did. Stop. You know what I don't want to hear? Well, clearly he has great chemistry with Michael Penix. See that play in Washington? That play in Washington was on one player, Michael Penix. I don't think even Kyle Pitts could have dropped that pass.
It was a great catch.
Yeah, but it was put in there where I don't think he didn't really have an option to drop it.
Yeah.
You know? And he ran the route right, which I guess we can give him credit considering it seems that at times he doesn't even do that. But it was a phenomenal read, pre-snap read, and he just threw a laser in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to talk about, you know, the chemistry that he has with Michael Penix, you also have to talk about the popped up interception that hits his hands out in the flat and then flies up in the air and then all of a sudden is picked off, right? I mean, there's conversations either way, and I'm curious, and we're already going to probably set up the wake up call because it's 2 hours away, but let's go ahead and throw it out there. Do you want to trade Kyle Pitts, and what's the asking price? It's pretty simple because you look at it and say, yeah, I think that what the guy you drafted, of course I would love to have him part of this offense. What is he? And I had this back and forth with your boy Mr. Yo, who's part of the Squid Nation, and he was like, hey, how can we not utilize a tight end that runs a 4.4? He's 6'6", he runs a 4.4. Dude, he doesn't run a 4.4 anymore. Like, we got to stop saying that. And I'm just as guilty as this, where we point out, hey, he's a fourth overall draft pick and he runs a 4.4. Okay, who cares? Like, why do we care at this point what he was drafted? And we've got to start flushing that out of our system when we talk about Kyle Pitts, the player. It has no bearing on anything where he was drafted. If he was drafted 15th overall, would it change your opinion on what he is as a player right now? No. He ran a 4.4 in the lead up to the draft. He doesn't run a 4.4 right now. Matter of fact, I don't even think he runs a 4.6.
I'm tired of hearing that, well, he hasn't had a quarterback here. Well, Matt Ryan was here and Arthur was here, and they used him in a more of a pass-happy offense, and he had a 1,000-yard season. He was also had never been injured at that point. Then he gets here, you know, he gets injured, and then we saw him quit on plays in 23, and saw him do it last year. Saw him just loaf over the goal line with a ball that, honestly, if that had been a pylon cam, it wouldn't have been a touchdown. You would have lost that game. So he would have been responsible for losing that game to me. Because, no, one player doesn't lose a game, but when you make an egregious error like that, it's hard to look away from it.
Yeah.
Not having Aiden O'Connell, Desmond Ridder, Gardner Minshew. There's one guy missing because I can't even remember his name. Those are the guys that threw to Brock Bowers last year, and he had one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time for a tight end.
I do have one question about this, and I'm curious to get your take on it, because I was asked about this from a buddy of mine. It's a big Falcons fan. And he had an interesting theory on why this popped up now. He had a theory, and I got to give him credit. He had a theory that he thinks that maybe the Steelers made a phone call to the Falcons at some point and asked about Kyle Pitts. The conversation that popped up, and we had it last Friday, about Jonnu Smith possibly being traded from the Dolphins to the Steelers. Maybe in that conversation, a Jordan Schultz or whoever else is reporting this said, well, hey, have you made any other calls? Yeah, we called the Falcons, but you know, their asking price was too high. And then all of a sudden, you can start following that kind of root bed and start really burying yourself deep of calling Falcons people and be like, hey, Steelers call y'all. You know, the whole thing, the only problem I have with it, and that's why I want to get your take on it, I don't feel like Arthur Smith wants Kyle Pitts involved in his offense. We saw it here. And obviously, he was, you know, that he was around when they drafted him fourth overall and understands what's good and what's bad about Kyle Pitts. I have a hard time believing that was a call the Steelers made, though.
I don't 100% agree with you, because they're out there with the rumors that they wouldn't mind adding another guy that could play with DK. And I believe personally that Aaron Rodgers is going to sign there. He's going to sign there after minicamp, to me. That's what I think. I don't think he wants to do anything before training camp. And I think as a veteran with his stature, and he didn't have a terrible season last year, despite what the team did, he didn't play terrible. I think he can kind of have that gravitas. He can get that pull. That's what he brings. So I could see Arthur Smith trying to use Kyle in a lot of the ways where he used him with Matt, where he was sending him down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, sending him down, and having DK on the other side. I think that could be two deep threats where they could kind of – you could use DK as a guy that's a good route runner, I think, and I think that Arthur might want to try to use him maybe a little bit more in the middle some.
Yeah.
Because of his size.
It is curious because you do feel like – too many times in Atlanta were they using Kyle Pitts to run like clear out routes, like using his obvious, you know, his 4.4 speed to run verticals and like clear out the coverage. It's like the opposite of you would think that he would be utilized, right? You'd use wide receivers to clear out the coverage and use the tight end underneath, but it's like flip flopped here the way he's been utilized too many times.
The thing for me is the one knock is that Arthur Smith wants guys that can block. He wants, you know, and Kyle doesn't do that. not very well. Anyways, that's not his strong suit. Whether I'm not being a jerk when I say that. I just want to go back to people.
Yeah, I think he'd be the first one to line up underneath that, sign off on that.
I want to go back to when people say that they've not had an OC that knew how to use him. Well, why does Arthur Smith know how to use Cordarrelle Patterson, but he can't figure out how to use a tight end like Kyle Pitts?
Yeah.
I think that's just such a false narrative.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And we'll have this conversation, obviously, throughout the show. If you want to weigh in at 929 Morning Shift, let us know how you feel about a possible Kyle Pitts trade. Would you get rid of him? Would you keep him? What are your expectations? Either way, we're going to move on. We're going to get to this conversation about the Atlanta Braves coming back. One pitch decided the game yesterday, and I was, about 8 foot away from where it landed. I'll tell you my story and talk about the Atlanta Braves yesterday, and they continue to fall flat. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift. It's Sports Radio 929 The Game.